Take your Bible, if you will, to the book of 1 Kings in chapter number 19. 1 Kings chapter number 19. As you look there in that chapter that we've been looking at several times, if you're able to stand, then stand while we look in verse number 19. All right, in the book of 1 Kings chapter number 19. And so he departed thence and he found Elisha. I want to tell you something. If you'll notice there right there, God had in the right man, the right person, the right place, at the right time to put the right power on him. He found Elisha, because he wasn't looking for anybody else. And he said, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I'll follow thee. And he said unto him, go back. Again, he said, for what have I done to thee? And he turned back from him, and he took a yoke of oxen and slew it, and he boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen, and he gave to the people, and they did eat. And then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it, and how good it is to be in the house of God. We praise you and thank you that thou art God. Beside thee, there's none else. We look forward with great anticipation to the days of hand, and Lord, until that you come and make all things new. May you find us busily occupied about your business at your so appearing that we be not ashamed when you come again. Bless, I pray, every man, woman, boy, girl, save the lost. Lift up the downhearted and set the captives free. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, thank you, and be seated. It was a time of war in this land that we're looking at. Ahab is the king over Israel at this given point in time. And you're going to find out is that it was not only a time of war, it was a time when they had anti-God leadership. Sounds like what we got going on in America. It was a time of death and a time of destruction. It was a time of rape. It was a time whenever people, you know, were under a lot of heartache and heartbreak. I heard on the news this morning very early that there were so many people over there that are in hostage, that there was one family, a four-year-old and I think a six-month-old. By the way, they took a six-month-old hostage. And while they hid in a cupboard somewhere, they were killing their parents. That's the kind of people that they're standing and chanting death to Israel and free Hamas. And that's kind of people you're looking at. And let me say to you, make no mistake about it, is that any general, any leader in the country wouldn't take long to be able to dissipate those tens of thousands that were standing there. Do you know they were painting their hands red with and putting handprints all over the White House and all over the governmental stuff and talking about how that they needed to free Hamas and get rid of Israel and news commentators. I watched several of them. Well, what are you saying whenever you're saying death, free Palestine? What are you saying? Are you think Israel should be annihilated? And they without exception. Yes, I do. They hate God, the Bible, Americans, the Church of the Living God. And yet we live in a world that is sympathetic toward that kind of behavior. In this lesson, let me say to you, is that they were at one time clapping for old Biden. Now they're cussing him. But they're cussing him for the wrong reason. They ought to cuss him because he's a sorry, good-for-nothing, low-life cusser. But what they're doing is they don't like it, because that he's not upholding them, but he's favoring Israel. I got to tell you, before that's over, you'll see that change dramatically. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, is that there's one thing you can depend on the Democratic Party. They'll kill babies so that you can vote. They're willing to lie, cheat, connive, and rob, and steal, and pillage, and supply the United States President's son with all the whores and all the dope and all the liquor and all the other breaks that he can possibly get just so you can vote and vote for them. Yeah. And what's wrong in America is that we're so stupid that we're allowing that to go on. We have sat by with generals and people in high-ranking office that have not upheld the Constitution and that have watched it go on and on and on. And things that used to, they'd lock you and I up for and probably still would, the rest of the world can march in the streets and be destructive, and they pat them on the back and on the hand. Now, that's the kind of ideology that was going on here in the days of Ahab. Ahab was not a good leader. He was a man that absolutely worshipped Baal. He was a man that had a wife named Jezebel. What an old Jezzy that is. I got to tell you, there's a lot of Jezzies in the world we're living in. They're not using that name, but there's a lot of Jezebels in the world. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out, I want to preach a little while on, and when God called Elijah. Now, in the lesson that we're looking at, and that's what's wrong with the day and hour we're living in, is that we're lacking the touch of God. We're lacking the call of God. I'm not talking about going somewhere, getting all keyed up and all hyped up emotionally and feel like you're something to somebody. I'm talking about the touch of God, buddy, upon somebody's life. And old Elijah said, I want you to go find Elisha. That's what God told him. You're going to find Elisha, and I want you to go out there, and he's going to be anointed to take your place. Now, one thing I've learned about that is that we ought not to resent those that are going to take our place. You live long enough, somebody's going to take your place. You live long enough, buddy, you're going to be in the running and having to call the shot. And I remember as a teenage boy, I started having to make decisions after I got married that I never had to make before. You see what I'm talking about? My dear little old wife, bless her heart, we had to make some decision. Did we ever make any wrong ones? Sure. You know what happens when you make a wrong decision? You're going to have to make another one in time to try to correct that. In this Bible lesson you're looking at, you find out that whenever Elijah found old Elisha, he was out there plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he was with the 12th one. Elijah walks by and throws a mantle upon him. And let me tell you, no doubt that he turned it loose. Elijah just kept walking. See, we live in the day where people are wanting to try to promote him. They're wanting to try to encourage him. They're wanting to try to coerce him. I got to tell you, friend, there won't nobody have to beg you into the ministry if God ever puts the touch of God on you. You won't care who's preaching. You won't care where you're at. You won't care what. You'll just know that the touch of God, God's been tugging at your heart. And it may not be exactly like you intended for it to be. I've seen people thought, man, I got saved back when. I wish I'd have waited and got saved with you. I can't save you no more than you can save yourself. See what I'm talking about? That's just called popularity, and that's called people, you know, that are wanting to somehow or another show favoritism. I got to tell you, I'm glad to know that whenever God came and snatched me as a brand from the burning, I wasn't worried about anything or anybody or anyplace else. In fact, my wife and I just bought our first, it was a mobile home, but it was a single wide. And whenever I got saved and surrendered to preach, I said, honey, we're going to have to go ahead and put it up for sale now, because I'm not sure what God's going to want and where God's going to demand us to be. And thank God some of that's all over with by now. I wanted to be ready without any restraint, see? Wasn't nobody down there at the altar and trying to get me to repeat a prayer, trying to coerce me and trying to... Listen, I knew beyond a doubt God was calling me for something that I absolutely was going to have outside help for. And I'm talking about the Lord. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, here's what you begin to see. You begin to realize and know that, hey, I tell you, is that he walked by there and throwed his mantle upon him. And of course, Elisha, he was kept on right on. And of course, Elijah just kept right on walking. And I'll tell you what ended up happening was he finally ran him down and said, let me go and tell my family by at the house. And Elijah said to Elisha, what have I done to thee? What have I done for thee? I mean, I'm not trying to call you into nothing. I don't have any place for you. You know the reason why the average Baptist church is deader than 10 o'clock and got so much foolery in it? I'll tell you why. There's been too much coercion by the excitement of popularity and friendship. You know, this man right here, he thought he was by himself, Elijah. You'd go absolutely nuts. If you didn't have somebody always that you could be yad with or yoked up with, you'd go absolutely out of your ever-loving mind. See what I'm talking about? You don't know what it's like set somewhere under a juniper tree and think, Lord, it'd be better for me to die than to live. And God said when he laid down there, the angel baked that cake. I wonder if it was angel food cake. I'm not really much on angel food cake, so if you're breaking a cake from my house, don't bring that. I just was using that because an angel baked the cake. Isn't it good to be saved, though, to know the Lord? I can tell you right now is that when you begin to look into it, we could not. We'd had to knock the walls out 3 times, but there'd been a lot of people came, a lot of people went. And I used to say that, man, some people looked better going than they did coming till I seen them in that hospital gown. You might have to have 2 or 3 gowns to cover up all the slits in that. I was looking at whenever this thing right here that you'll find that the right person. You realize that old God's not hard up for anybody. I had an old black preacher one time, and he said, amen and brethren, God doesn't owe us anything. We go a God everything. And he said, God don't need any one of us. He can accomplish his will by his word, by himself. And I can tell you right now, I'm glad God's letting us in on it. I'm glad God will use us. Here's an old man by the name of Elijah wanted to die, but he ain't dead till yet. You'll find that he finally was translated that he not see death. And let me say to you that, if you will, that God is about to get his replacement right here at hand. Hey, did you notice that, if you will, he wasn't idly about? When you look at this man's life, he could have obviously been a pretty good rancher. That was a pretty good high-dollar yoke of oxen when there was 12 oxen there doing the plowing. He could have owned a big farm. He didn't think about it. And he said, no, I'm going to go kill some buy at home, and I'm going to kill that ox, and I'm going to feed the crowd, and I'm coming after you, buddy. And let me say to you, that's the way that it ought to be. You ought to be ready. Whenever Moses, remember Moses was keeping a flock on the backside of a desert when God called him? Do you remember that Gideon was a man that was out there threshing wheat, buddy, when God called him? Do you remember that David was a shepherd man taking care of sheep when God called him? Do you remember that the Apostle Paul was a man that was on the road to Damascus and fighting and wanting to lock up Christians when God saved him and called him? I wonder where it was when you received the call into salvation. Where was it when you received the call into service? Where was it whenever you, and how did you respond to that? I remember when Jesus went by and called those men, follow me, he said, and I'll make you fishers of men. And you know what they did immediately? They left their nets, they left their father, and they got busy, buddy, following the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to say to you that when you begin to look into this, there ought to never be a resentment for those that are taking our place in life, that are taking our ranks in life. Every one of us sitting here, and I'm closer than you'd ever want to think about it, I can promise you right now, I'm not going my way in, I'm on my way out. And make no mistake about it, that you're going to one of these days be in that category and never, never, ever be resentful toward anybody that God's raising up to take your place. In this Bible lesson you're looking at, is that you'll find that there was no resentment on Elijah's part, and Elisha was that man that God had called. Now I want you to notice something else about the call of God. Is that you're going to find out that whenever God calls this man, there's the urgency of the call. Immediately he wanted to respond. Remember those people in the New Testament, those that were fishing with their father and all their utensils? In other words, when God breaks through, he'll break through on all family ties, all family fronts. And it won't make any difference what anybody anywhere else wants to say or do anything about it. It'll be an answer that came from God. It'll be an answer because of God. It'll be an answer for God. I was thinking about when you look into that lesson that's there, is that it's hard sometimes to just let go and let God and trust God and live by faith. And let me tell you what right now is, it's rough. It's rough. I was over there preaching one time at Ting. You remember meeting Brother and Sister Ward that came the other day, and they dropped in. What a pleasant surprise. I was preaching about over there, and whenever these little old 5-toe-head kids around Louisiana, and I mean, that's where we were making our money, you know, like $100 a week. I finally got to be 150, and even after years of that, they just felt like, hey, that's good enough. We're giving him an old trailer to live in. Those little kids of mine would come around and say, hey, Daddy, can we, they're all going to go to a McDonald's, which was about 12 miles away. Can we go? I didn't have two nickels to rub together. No, we're not going to be able to go tonight. We're not going tonight. And it wasn't because of the fact that I was against going. It's just that two nickels that it was going to take wasn't going to be enough to feed four kids and a wife. And as a result of that, I told that story over there at Tig. And old brother Ward's son came up after the service and gave me some money, and he said, take your kids to McDonald's somewhere. I asked him about it when he was here the other day. I said, do you remember that? He said, yeah. I said, take your kids to McDonald's somewhere. Now, since then, there's better burger places, but when you ain't got no money anyway, then that's as good as you can get. I mean, as you look into the Bible, you'll find that when God calls you, it just might be that every now and again you're going to have to trust God to eat out of His hand.
Yes, sir.
And it might be you're just going to have to trust God to believe Him and to know that He doeth all things well. Now, I thank God, and some of you have said it, and some of you have seen it, and some of you have known it, God has saved the best for last.
Yes.
And I'm glad. I'm glad that God has been good. And God has been, boy, when they sang that song right there about God is good, I can tell you through all the heartache, all the heartbreak, and all of that business. Now, the original song that sung, I wouldn't change it if I could. I would. There's a lot of things I'd change if I could. See? But I'm an honest songwriter. In this song, that's the reason why they've changed words to that. I didn't tell anybody to, but that's the reason why. Oh, yeah, there's lots of things I would change if I could. I got to tell you something, is that here's a man that's got the touch of God upon him, Elijah's man. And I'll tell you, Elijah was a powerful man of God. And you're going to find out that now the call of God's going to break all family ties, all financial ties, all earthly ties. And Elijah chose to be a servant under that prophet by the name of Elijah, even though he could have probably had a large farm one day. You know, the Bible teaches us, and it's over there in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, don't turn there, and about verse number 3 down through 4, the Bible said that we ought to war, then not war and fight the flesh, and that we ought not to be entangled with this world that we're living in. You know the reason why sometimes people miss out on what God really wants for them? They're too busy. They're not at the right place. What if Elijah said, I don't want to go over there. I've been in that country before. I ain't really. No. I want you to go and find Elisha. You're going to have to be at the right place at the right time. I tell you something else that I've noticed, is that you'd better be at the house of God on a regular basis with your children when God comes to find one of them for salvation. You be off somewhere else the day the Holy Ghost of God comes a beating and a knocking. Some of, God will do it anywhere and any place. You better tell Him that. You better tell God that. Because let me tell you right now, that ain't the way it happened here. It ain't a matter I'm going to move it around and don't worry about Elijah. No, Elijah found him right where God told him to go and look for him. And let me say to you that when you begin to look into this lesson that's here, you'll find that God knows exactly how to motivate us and move us to the right place at the right time. Remember Mary? Remember? She is big and about to give birth whenever taxation drove them over there to Bethlehem. Remember that? She was heavy with child. No room in the inn for them. You think God doesn't know all that business there? I want to say to you, if you will, please, is that here's a man that God's going to call and God's going to use him to preach the blessed word of the Lord. And let me say to you that he resigned everything there was. He resigned all for God. And as a result of that, here am I, Lord, send me, was the ideology that he's gotten there. All right, last but not least, I want you to notice something about the sermon that he's got. Notice, if you will, please, in chapter 21, you can learn there real quickly, chapter 21, and there's a passage over there that we want to look at, and in chapter number 21, the Bible says there in about verse number 17 and about verse number 18. In the passage, the Bible said, and the word of the Lord came unto Elijah the Tishbite, saying, now here's a man, remember, that he wanted to die. He is on the run. He's already anointed with his mantle, the guy that's going to take and fill his shoe. And here's the message from God. You notice that? He hadn't changed. You know, you can get backslid eyeball deep and want to die and mully grub around and complain about what God's brought your way in life. But let me tell you, as soon as you get through being able to feel sorry for yourself, and as soon as you get back where you ought to be with God in fellowship and you trust God, you're going to find something out. And that is, the message of God is still the same as it was when you left it. In this lesson that you're looking at, let me tell you, here's the man, the Bible, Elijah said, the Tishbite, and he goes down to meet Ahab. You know, his wife wants to kill him already. He's going anyhow. Duty's resumed. He's about to preach the blessed word of the Lord. Did you notice that God even calls men in times of corruption? I mean, there was a corrupt woman, a corrupt man by the name of Ahab, corrupt woman he was married to by the name of Jezebel. You know, he had already been whining. We'll talk about it later another time, because he wanted Naboth's vineyard. It was joined close to him. I'll give you a better vineyard, and I'll give you money. He wouldn't do it. No, Ahab went in there and pouted, and wouldn't eat nothing, wouldn't drink nothing, just a big old baby. And finally, Jezebel, what's the matter with you? And said, I wanted Naboth's vineyard, and he won't sell it to me. Don't worry about that. I'll take care of that. So sugar pudding, what's she done? She went ahead and hired some false witnesses against Naboth, said he's blaspheming the king and God. And they had him stoned, they had him killed. And she said, I want you to go ahead and take that vineyard you've been wanting. I've got it provided for you. Sound like Americans, doesn't it? Last but not least, Ahab was not expecting somebody to show up on his doorstep preaching, but Elijah the Tishbite, and thus came the word of the Lord unto him. Elijah saith, arise and go and meet Ahab, the king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he's in the vineyard of Naboth, whither he has gone down to possess it. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, in the place where the dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall the dogs lick thy blood, even thine. And Ahab said unto Elijah, hast thou found me, O mine enemy? And he answered, I have found thee, because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. And he goes on and tells him that he's going to cut off all those men that are in the regime of O Ahab and so forth and so on. I got to tell you something in closing, is that Elijah was a man that was assigned to preach. Now, the modernist preacher today, in the day we live in, would be like this. Oh, don't be so hard on Ahab there, Elijah. Why don't you just love him to Jesus? I'm just absolutely amazed at the ignorance that's sweeping the country among fundamentalism. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, you'll find that Elijah was not worried about trying to please Ahab. He was worried about pleasing the Lord and delivering the message of God. As you look into this Bible passage here, what is God doing and tugging at your heart about? I can promise you, you can either be like Jezebel and be full of falsehood and forgery, or you can be like Elijah, waiting on the next message that comes from God. In this day and hour that we're living in, I got to tell you, I hope that you know the Lord in the free pardon of sin, and I hope that you're looking unto Him, the author and finisher of our faith, and I hope that your hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness. Because you're fixing to need it. You're fixing to need it. These babies here, they're fixing to need it. And I guarantee you right now, it'll happen quicker than you really realize. And the signs of times are upon us. If there's ever a time you ought to be able to look unto the Lord, it's now. Of course, it's always been that way, but it's really crucial right now. I wonder, do you know Him in the free pardon of sin? Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. Now, Father, we want Lord, I pray You'd help us to look unto Thee. And I hope, dear God, that You'll find us busily occupied about Your business, that we be not ashamed at Thy appearing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.